And now in the Radio 1 Music Collection, Ian Lee with Music of the People.
This next poem that I repeat is a rewriting of an old Dublin song, 18th century song, I imagine. All that was left of it was the first stanza, and as a musician wanted it recomposed, I worked at it and wrote in the next three stanzas, keeping to the rhythm and the style of the first. As I went down to Dublin city at the hour of 12 of the night, who did I see but a Spanish lady washing her feet by candlelight? First she washed them, then she dried them, all by a fire of amber coal. In all my life I never did see a maid so neat about the soul. I asked her would she come a-walking, and we went on where the small bats flew. A coach I called then to instate her, and on we went till the grey cocks crew. Combs of amber in her hair were, and her eyes had every spell. In all my life I never did see a maid whom I could love so well. But when I came to where I found her, and set her down from the halted coach, who was there waiting, his arms folded, but that fatal swordsman, Tiger Roach? Then blades were out, and was thrust and cut. Never wrist gave me more a fright, till I lay low upon the floor, where she stood holding the candlelight. But oh, you books of Dublin city, if I should see at 12 of the night in any chamber such lovely lady washing her feet by candlelight and drying o'er souls neat as hers all by a fire of amber coal, your blades be dimmed, I'd whisper her and take her for a midnight stroll.
A very good evening and welcome to the Music of the People. And this week we started with the Poetry of the People and the voice of Irish poet Padraig Colum and his rewriting of The Spanish Lady. And here it is as recorded in Letterkenny, County Donegal in 1951, not by a local singer, but American Robin Roberts, who was Alan Lomax's partner at the time and who accompanied him on his Irish trip, having met in Paris. And by all accounts, it was she who encouraged Lomax to start his European odyssey in Ireland. And this is from Lomax's commercially unreleased Irish recordings. And I'm grateful to the Irish Traditional Music Archive in Dublin and the Lomax Archive for permission to broadcast it.
As I walk down through Dublin city at about the hour of 12 at night, there I saw a Spanish lady washing her feet by candlelight. First she washed them, then she dried them. All around her shoulder she pegged a towel, and in all my life I ne'er did see such a fine young girl upon my soul. She had 20, 18, 16, 14, 12, 10, 8, 6, 4, 2, and 1. She had 19, 17, 15, 13, 11, 9, 7, 5, 3, and 1. Where she stops, it wearies me. Our fair young girls are all deceiving. Sad experience teaches me. She had 20, 18, 16, 14, 12, 10, 8, 6, 4, 10, 9. She had 19, 17, 15, 13, 11, and 7, 5, 3, and 1.
Robin Roberts' interpretation of the traditional Spanish lady there. Poetry and song, I suppose, are interchangeable. Difficult to be precise as to when one ends and the other begins. Scottish singer, composer, poet, writer, and political agitator Ewan McCall pursued poetry, prose, and song, along with his Dublin counterpart Dominic Behan, less well-known brother of Brendan, on this Folkways recording from 1958, and it was called Singing Streets.
Ours was the wisdom, the poetry, the music they never taught in school. Maybe it wasn't art, I don't know. What is art to those who live in the desert? Is it something to do with the crumbling plaster of Paris dryads in the public park, those plump Victorian maidens who cower in knock-kneed shame? Art. The smell of furniture polish and dust in the Museum Come Art Gallery. This picture is the bequest of Alderman so-and-so. Psyche at the well, a sleek Edwardian matron about to take a bath she obviously doesn't need. The Three Graces, Ophelia mad in triplicate. The public art of civic centres, the larger-than-life effigies of the soot-blackened great. Cobden, Bright, Wellington in marble immobility. Permanently thoughtful, hopeful, truculent, white-haired, white-nosed, white-shouldered. For the pigeons are artists, too. Art. Is it animal, mineral, or vegetable?
As far as the street's concerned, the answer is a lemon. And yet, we were all poets.
The boy stood on the burning deck, selling peas a penny a peck. Did he wash his dirty neck? No, did he eck?
The boy stood on the burning deck, his feet were full of blisters. His father stood down in the pub, while the beer rolled down his whiskers.
Sam, Sam, the dirty man, washed his face in a frying pan, combed his hair with a donkey's tail, scratched his belly with his big toenail.
Peasant Mick went up a stick and couldn't get down for thardens. Oh, says Pat, there's a rat. Oh, says Mick, catch it quick. That was the end of Pat and Mick.
Johnny, get your gun, there's a ghost in the garden, lying on his back with his belly to the sun. Johnny got his gun and the gun was loaded, stuck it in the ghost and the ghost exploded.
There was always something to watch, a funeral, a wedding, or down by the canal, some drunk getting cleaned up for the gardener. But these were all seldoms. The constants were the fights, and the only question the men around our way asked was, is it private or can we all join in?
There once was a man, his name was Paddy Knight. He challenged a navvy out for the fight. Hit him on the jaw and he nearly broke it. Didn't know the navvy had a hammer in his pocket. And he hit Paddy Knight and he fell. And now I'm sad to tell, he's either in heaven or Patrick Croft, and I don't give a bugger which it is.
Mother, mother, pole is three stairs up. The woman in the middle door hit me with a cup. Me nose is bleeding, me head is all cuss. Mother, mother, pole is three stairs up. Mother, mother, pole is, I broke me knee. You might catch me, brother, but you won't catch me.
If anybody came down the street limping, they were greeted with,
limpy Dan, lift your leg and you'll see a wee man.
Hawky duck, broke me leg and I can't get up.
A tale-bearer, a snitcher, a telltale tit, got this.
Telltale tit, your tongue will slit, and all the dogs around here will have a little bit.
Telltale tit, your mother can't knit, your father can't walk with a walking stick.
If you were tall and thin, they sang about you.
Taller, taller, taller than you oughter, be like a streak of water. Skinny Lizzie, skinnier than you oughter be, like a stick of celery.
And if you were undersized, they sang, how are you, wee daft article, ye are ne worth a particle, for common sense it takes to mak a man. You're no the size of tippins, and your income's only threepence. You maybe think you'll get a wife, but you'll no get Mary Ann.
And pity the poor Judy throwing out her first pair of high-heeled shoes. There she goes, peery heels and pointed toes. Look at her feet, she thinks she's neat, black stockings and dirty feet.
And the young blade wearing his first man's hat. If you can't fight, wear a big hat.
Sack head.
Rhymes about everything and nothing.
Particularly nothing. Hack ball, bore a hole, push a tough into the coal. When he shouts for his granny, tell him that he hasn't any.
What's your name? Baldy Bean. Where do you live? Down the lane. What number? Cucumber.
Amen means so be it. Half a loaf and a threepenny bit. Two men, 4 feet, walking down O'Connell Street, shouting out pig's feet, 1 and 2 a pound.
Smoking glass, watch the moon up high. Kicked the sun up the bum, chased it from the sky.
Now I played a selection from tin whistle and flute player Johnny Maguire from Mullaghorn, County Cavan, before in this series. And I'm returning to Johnny now and his son Sean, the well-known fiddle player. Here, in the presence of Sean O'Boyle from Armagh and collector the Englishman Peter Kennedy, they play together. And to add spice to the selection, Johnny relates the story of how he learned the Westmeath jig.
Well, I think we'll play the Thomas by the Fire.
Oh, the Thomas by the Fire. Where did you hear that now, John?
Well, I heard it in Fermanagh. And I heard a fisherman's widow in Cavan.
Uh-huh.
And I also heard another jig they call the Westmeath jig. A man whistled this for me, and that's all I know about it. He said that some of his brothers used to play it.
Well, wasn't this man Dan?
This man was on his deathbed when he whistled this tune for me.
Aye,
and I learned it from him. And so I always had a great fancy for it on the account that I got it, the way that I got it from this man.
The Westmeath jig now.
The Westmeath jig from this man. His name was Patrick Donoghue.
Aye, aye.
And this man, I happened to go into the house one night, and he called me by name, and I went into the bedroom, and he says, "Have you got that jig yet?" Mm-hmm. And I hadn't got the jig fully, but I had it before I left the house. And he died the next day.
We'll play it.
I always remember that day.
Thank you.
I always hear the style of a marching band when I listen to Johnny Maguire, although I'm not sure if he played in one. And I hear it in this piece as well, another not-so-well-known title from Johnny, this one being called The Gossan That Bate His Father. The bagpipes are an acquired taste for many people, and even back in 1951, when one Neil A. Duddy released an album of Irish bagpipe tunes, he was conscious of the bagpipes' possible unpopularity. An article accompanying the release of the album had the following startling revelations about the bagpipes. It was written by a Hope Stoddard. The bagpipe is a peculiar instrument. It needs the open air, with preferably a few mountains thrown in, for a sounding board. In the Middle Ages, it was an instrument of beggars, hangers-on, and ne'er-do-wells. It talks in a literal sense, take the word of the Scots and the Irish, but its words cannot be translated into English. Though the Scots have taken it as their national instrument, they admit it is not suitable for chamber music, that it would be of doubtful value in the neurological wards of hospitals, that it can't interpret blues numbers, and that it shouldn't be practiced in a city apartment. Well, after all that, the least I can do is play something from Neil A. Duddy. Now, Neil called himself the Donegal Piper, although he was born in Scotland and went to America, where he settled. His parents were, in fact, from Donegal. He also referred to his Irish bagpipes, though he played what we would call the Scottish pipes, and he recorded in America. Here he plays three jigs, Kelly's Rambles, Father O'Flynn, and what he calls Nora Creenan, which is probably the jig Nora Creenan.
Thank you.
In last week's programme about Sidney Robertson Cowell and her visit to the Aran Islands, Deirdre Ní Chonaille referred to Maud Carpels and a collection she made with Cecil Sharp, the famous English collector in the southern Appalachians during the First World War. She writing the words and Cecil Sharp the music of the songs. In 1950 and 55, Maud Carpels returned to the same area with a recording machine, and Martha Wiseman Aldridge, great name there, sang The Pretty Fair Field for her, a song known in Ireland as The Tree in the Wood or The Rattling Bog.
There was a pretty fair field, a pretty fair field. What was in that field? A beautiful, beautiful tree. Tree in the ground in a pretty fair field. There was a pretty fair field, a pretty fair field, fair field. What was on that tree? A beautiful, beautiful limb. Limb on the tree in the ground in a pretty fair field. There was a pretty fair field, a pretty fair field, fair field. What was on that limb? A beautiful, beautiful nest. Nest on the limb and a limb on the tree in the ground in a pretty fair field. There was a pretty fair field, fair field. What was in that nest? A beautiful, beautiful egg. Egg in the nest on the limb and a limb on the tree in the ground in a pretty fair field. There was a pretty fair field, fair field. What was in that egg? A beautiful, beautiful bird. Bird and egg in the nest on the limb and the limb on the tree in the ground in a pretty fair field. There was a pretty fair field, fair field. What was in that bird? A beautiful, beautiful tongue. Tongue in the bird and egg in the nest on him and the limb on the tree in the ground in a pretty fair field. There was a pretty fair field, fair field. What was in that tongue? A beautiful, beautiful song. Song in the tongue and the bird on the egg in the nest on limb and the limb on the tree in the ground in a pretty fair field. There was a pretty fair field, fair field. What was on that bird? A beautiful, beautiful head. Head on the bird and tongue in the bill on the head and head on the neck on the bird and the egg in the nest. Nest on the limb and the limb on the tree in the ground in a pretty fair field. There was a pretty fair field, fair field.
And also in the Appalachians, Emma Shelton spoke to Maud Carpels about her previous trip there with Cecil Sharp during the First World War.
When I was a little girl, we had some visitors from London, England, Mr. Sharp and Miss Maud Carpels. Cecil J. Sharp was his name. Cecil J. Sharp, we call it. And they came to these mountains collecting the old folk songs, what we call the love songs, the old ballads. Some people and most people call them ballads instead of ballads. And we sang lots of songs for them. My mother sang, and she had a beautiful voice. She could sing very beautifully. And Dad played the fiddle. Oh, he was a fiddler. I'm telling you, he was a fiddler. And I remember that I sang some of the songs for them. I was a very small girl at that time, and I was 13 at that time, but I won't give the date because that'd give my age. We just had a wonderful time. So they decided that they wanted to send me to school, so they sent me to Darlin Bell School at Hot Springs, North Carolina, and I had never been away from home. It was 25 miles away from home, but I thought I was a million miles from Dad and Mama. And I stayed 3 days and ran away, which I'm very much ashamed. But I still sing the old songs, and I think Miss Carpelese likes it better because she said if I had an education, that would take the folklore out of it. So I think that it's all very well, because I have sang several songs for them, and they've recorded them, and I think it's all worked out very well, and probably all worked out for the better.
Back in Donegal, Peter Kennedy, along with Sean O'Wile on Sean O'Hahy, spoke with fiddler Johnny Doherty. And here Johnny talks about his family and the first tune he learned.
Indeed, I started fiddling when I was very, very small. I started to play the fiddle when my arm wasn't just as long as a fiddle. And I remember one day, I made some kind of a fiddle, or the imitation of a fiddle. And I was, as we call it in Irish, stracking. And of course I was annoying my father with it. Although I didn't think I was annoying him, but he chased me outside and anyhow. "Get out of that, boy," he says. What are you annoying my head for?" "Oh," says I, "I'm trying to learn a tune." "And now," he says, "leave it from you, because you'll never be able to play the fiddle according to what I see you doing," he says, "and what I hear yet." But however, the sort of a toy fiddle that I had made, I went on out and I sat under the cow's head in the byre. And what do you think of it? The first couple of notes that I struck on was the first few notes of Bonnie Kid. And I come in to my father. "Well, here, father," said I, "now listen now, just hold on. You're putting me out," says I, "very often for not being able to, and for being making noise in your head and all this. But when you hear this," says I, "and I'll begin a few notes anyhow." But to make a long story short, I went over Bonnie Kit and the way that a child would do it just. So it seems to be that it was just nature that was controlling me to, my natural musical talent that was controlling me to play the tune. No one had showed me it, for he was chasing me out all the time. I was annoying him, you see. But then I had a sister. God have mercy on her soul, she's dead. Mary, she was a good fiddle player. But after her marriage, she never took up the fiddle. Well then, my mother's two brothers, Alec McConnell and Mickey McConnell, they were good fiddle players. In fact, they were well known in this place, in Carrickier. This was partly their native place. My grandfather, Simon Doherty, that's my father's father, he was a good fiddler, no doubt. And my father then, he was called up to be the king fiddler of all. And in fact, that when my father, when he would be playing a reel with a cheer and good spirits, you could feel the top of the bow whistling. And that's no lie. I've heard him now. There was one, you know what it is now, a child to be listening to the father there, or to be acquainted listening to a person, you know, from his childhood days on up till you'd be a boy, say, of 16 years or 17. Well, there's many things, you know, that you'd hear so often that you mightn't pay much attention to. You would hear them so often that you'd say to yourself, "Well, sure, I've heard that before, and that's no great wonder to me." But I often heard my father playing the fiddle. And I never, you know, although he was very good, I got in the way in the rear that I didn't pay much attention. But there was one evening I was after coming in. I had been away someplace, and I was just after coming back, and that same evening he was in great spirits. There was something that was pleasing his mind very much. He took down the fiddle and he began to play a reel that's called the Salamanca reel. Well, now the performance that evening, I thought, was something more than I ever heard or ever saw him doing before. And of course, at the time, he was getting to be an old man. But the performance now was more than I ever knew that could be done with the bow. So I just stood up with my finger in my mouth, looking at him and listening to him. And said, "Aye, Father, do you know, I never, said I know, since I remember, I never heard you doing the back of that before. I never heard you doing that bone performance on the fiddle before," said I, "Father." "Ah, well," he says, "now, John, that's what I used to do when I was a young boy," and he says, "I suppose, and I never heard him doing the same thing before or after." Now, that's the truth. the bowing on evening, right enough, it was more than I knew that a man could do with a bow. So now.
In the south of Ireland, Alan Lomax recorded Elizabeth or Bess Cronin near Macroom in County Cork, both English and Irish songs. Plenty of folk songs in both English and Irish allude to belief in the fairies, including this well-known lullaby, Shuheen Sho, which is sung in different ways, sometimes as a straightforward, uncomplicated song to soothe a child to sleep, and also, as in this case, a song of fairies meddling with us worldly folk. Alan Lomax engages Bess Cronin in conversation here, she having performed the song.
Beautiful songs ever heard, Miss Cronin. What's it for?
Well, I'll tell you the meaning of it. It is like you'd sing it for a child. Oh, if you were passing the floor and outside with a child to get him to go to sleep.
Oh,
and you should sing something to the child, of course.
Sort of a lullaby then, wasn't it?
The very thing. But this woman, it seems, was taken away by the fairies. So it was said.
Oh.
And they took her into the fort and she was minding their child instead of her own. Her people thought she was dead, but she saw a woman down at the stream washing clothes, and she went out and she took the baby and she sang for the baby, do you know, so that the woman that was washing the clothes would hear and understand, and gave her directions in the song, of course, when it was Irish, there maybe that the fairies would have a chance to have understand it at all.
Mm. I see, so that... You don't think that the fairies understand Irish, is that the idea?
Well, I wouldn't know which.
Maybe not.
But
huh?
She took her chance. And she knew the woman would understand. And she made it plain to the woman, you'd see what she was doing, and to tell her husband to come, you know, and to take her away. That was the meaning of, that's how that song started.
Bess Cronin also sang Shula Roon, or Shula Gra, for Alan Lomax, a song which was recorded in Britain, Ireland and North America, where it was known as Johnny's Gone for a Soldier.
I would I were on yonder hill, and there I'd sit and cry my fill, and every tear would turn a mill, as it did to the morning swan. Shul, to buy my love a quart of steel, ask thee to morning swan. Shul, 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 run, shul, suck, shul, gun, shul, girls, selling loom, ask thee to I'll lay my petticoats, I'll lay them red, and on the world I'll bake for bread, until my parents shall wish me dead, as gave the morning swan. Shul, 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 shul,
in Scotland, Alan Lomax recorded widely in the Gaelic-speaking islands and was particularly taken with the work songs associated with various aspects of people's working lives. He recorded Kitty MacLeod talking about the sheiling, which was the high ground where people brought their cattle in the summer to graze. The custom was known as Erinarig in Scots Gaelic, Anwulia or Egbuhuliart in our Irish, and was known as Transhumans in English.
Each family, say, has a sheiling. That is, of course, if you wish to have a summer grazing for the cattle.
Well, does the whole family go there?
Yes, if they like to. If not, certain members of the family go.
When they stay all summer? Or?
And they stay, say, in fact, the end, the middle of July, I think, is the time when they're leaving. They go in the early summer, late spring, early summer, and they go back into the villages round about the middle of July.
Does this still go on?
Oh, yes, it goes on in our place. Ness. Oh, yes, we still have shillings, yes.
And how do they live there? I mean, what do they have? Do they take their bedding along?
Yes, you take everything with you. It's a sort of flitting, you know. You take food with you. And we used to take the hens with us. It was unknown, but we did. We used to take the hens with us in our bag and have them out by the river. Every shilling you see is by a river for watering purposes and near a well or a spring. For watering purposes, and either beside a moorland loch or else near an arm of the sea. And it's always where the best grazing is, you see. That's where they go.
Well, what happens during the day of the shearing? You get up very early in the morning?
It all depends. You sometimes don't go to bed at all. I remember very, very vividly in the summer of 1937, I think it was, or 36, staying up all night and going to the top of a little hill and watching the midnight sun from Lewis. The sun never went down. You see, we're at such a height, and you know, don't you, Norman, how it is in Lewis, that the nights are much, much brighter than they are here.
Right.
Yes. A big difference. We'll watch the midnight sun.
You've been up singing and dancing all night?
We had just been up singing and talking and generally enjoying ourselves. We waited up purposely to see the sun. Went up to the top of a hill.
On South Uist, Lomax recorded Mrs. Kate Nicholson as she milked and sang. This particular song is a contemporary composition by Duncan Johnston, and the words in translation would go as follows. The calves have sucked, O tender-hearted dairymaid. Complexion of the rose on the maiden's face, tender-hearted dairymaid. You are my love. And all that as she extracts milk from the cow.
Ahoo, ahoy, y'all know why. Ahoo, ahoy, y'all know why. Ahoo, ahoy, y'all know why. Avanarach hewn y'all am thaw. Snorosh groen ahoy. Snorosh groen ahoy. Snorosh groen ahoy. Avanarach hewn stus amogral. Skillen a grŵp an yn y bo, skillen a grŵp an yn y bo, skillen a grŵp an yn y bo, a fan ar y chiwn skillen a car. Ahw, ahw, iol nwy, ahw, ahoy, y'all know. Ahoy, ahoy, y'all know. A van ar y chiwn, y'all yn daw.
And we leave you this week with a calypso, a stereo field recording made by Lomax in the Caribbean in 1962. And more about the Caribbean in coming weeks. This is a sort of macaronic English-Spanish effort, and it reminds me that there will be Spanish recordings included in next week's programme. Gajishan, Wimsa, Ian Lee, Ihuay.
Senorita Panchita, a Spanish girl from Venezuela. Yare Senorita Panchita, a Spanish girl from Venezuela. As I were walking down Pebble Street, a pretty senorita was entranced to me. She said, Buenos tardes, senor Pupatauzi. Aquí estoy yo batallando. That's what I said. It was an afternoon in December when the cortico landed in the harbor. I got dressed immediately, walking round the city melancholy. When you speak of beauty and personality with sex appeal, looking resplendently, the tear in her eyes, smoking this beauty bleak, you are in love with no less a person than me. She sat down the Vivi and she began, but then I told her, Senorita, me no comfort. She said, El Tigre, me am all you, I love, I just me, and was looking above. She told me that her name was Carmelita Panchita, her father had half of Venezuela, planting, and no speak of cocoa property. So Bing and Macha Palando, that's my family. She said, Dandy Vive, and she began, but then I told her, Senorita, me no comprend. She said, Del Tigre, me am all you, I love, I just me, and was looking above. She told me that her name was Carmelita Panchita, her father had half of Venezuela, cocoa planting, and cocoa poverty, so plant better than fame at my family. She said, Chico, umbrella,
panza. You're my boy, Papa, ho Camila. A hella wrong ways, we began to walk at the tiger. Mingling Spanish also. Soon as we got by the theater, she looked up and bought it, hola luna. She spoke again. I couldn't understand. Cause the minute that I wasn't a Venezuelan. Oh yes, it was Senorita Panchita, the Spanish girl from Venezuela. Senorita Panchita, the Spanish girl from Venezuela. As I were walking down Paris Street, the pretty Senorita was enchanted to me. She said, Buenas tardes, Senor Cuba Caute, aquí estoy yo batallando, that's what I said.
Calypso, ending Music of the People, which was presented and produced by Ian Lee.
Hello there, this is Kieran Hanrahan here, inviting you to join me for Cayley House from the Sonic Arts Research Centre in Queen's University Belfast this Saturday night. We've music and song from the Queen's University Trad Group, Paula Houghton, Karina Ferguson, Emmett Mulholland, Martin Dowling and many, many more. That's Cayley House from the Sonic Arts Research Centre, Queen's University in Belfast this Saturday night, RTE Radio 1 at 9 o'clock.
Hi there, this is Pascal Mooney. What do Brendan Shine, Margot, Ray Lynham and Sandy Kelly have in common? They're all featured in a new series of Irish music legends every Friday evening at 9 during August here on Radio 1. Get the inside story and the music of these Irish music legends every Friday evening at 9 right here on RTE Radio 1.
Kiwer maha nuyakton lay a yewig padder magahin. Togu ir janer in the Sherbach Bosniak Radovan Karadic a score vincha korina kogi na nashin entihe sahag don hed wurinu. Korukushne a wanyan the kini yihu agis korina a naina dainakte in a lay. Tashabartihe a Karadic a hain a chosinch a reith na triola. Turishki an imer nichonile.
Gun hedu de riov togu Radovan Karadic os code vincha korina koga na nashin entihe. Shane Brehev Alphonse Ori, a vi genitor in Murti, Agus Vinishagur, Ian Hushteg of Ikur Ilya Karadich, Kushina Owanle Kinihu, Kudina in Aina Denachta, Agus Kudina Kuga. Lelini Murti, Kudin Brehev Ori, Kested, Kimbal Hovashagir, Playdol, Achtir Radovan Karadich and Shane Guduri Tilla Amoro, Led Zian Skrudu Yinner in a Kushina at all Kurha in Ilya, Silanierosha, Kinbal Hotoshele Playdol. Tikushe os code on Vincherist, Erin Leula Fiat Lunasa.
Karutus Rich Trinona Lacanchine, Edihin Realtish, Fuiho, into Nashanta Pai Ur, the Sprick Lakashistan La Marach, than a cared Humanta Astari, Agus Dun Realtis, Harter Ho into Ur, Nil Morandohas Lerihe Gafoil, Eg the Parchihe Exile, Gajoker, a Racha Humara. Lirian Turis Galura ta Falchihe Egstock Vrokery NCB Gual Gaelagar Naheran Logihe Gamor Agsta Kulu Ignamiakta Anan Doin Imyanne Jeran Turis Galgame Chichim Heen Punchy Shaf and Gather Old Taragakta Inchire Imyanne Agsnach May Faser Be Inchi and Viencha Huggin Ach Tabank Kanish Naheran Egtur Gamay Fas Nord Punchy Shaf and Gather Old Taragakta Inchire Imyanne Agsgawasa Shi Gaf and Gad